idea captured me this week. Well, late last week, actually. So I hope that you get caught by it, too, or you catch it. Jim Carrey. Not the first name you usually say in a sermon, but Jim Carrey. Comedic actor with a big mouth and a rubber face. He made a lot of money, played some crazy and crass roles in some crazy and crass movies. From the slapstick Dumb and Dumber to the serious, more serious at least, Truman Show. From the Yes Man to the Liar Liar. From Pet Detective to Green Grinch. And even played the character of God in Bruce Almighty. Talk about bad casting. Well, somewhere along the line, probably involved in the movie, this movie, Bruce Almighty, something clicked in Jim Carrey. And he incessantly, these days, makes lists of things that he's grateful for. That's a pretty good activity. And he says, count your blessings all the time to people. That seems out of character, maybe, for what we know of him, and I don't know if he's still doing it, but he was up until recently. He challenges anyone in the darkest moments to write down what you are grateful for and, quote, give thanks for everything you have been given. Now, he fails to specify to whom you give thanks, but we know, and I suspect he knows, having played Bruce Almighty, right? Jim Carrey does it, and so does leper number 10, Luke 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. That's a great story. We've heard it a million times. In fact, I can remember my preaching teacher, my homiletics teacher, saying, don't ever preach on that passage. It's been so overworked. Everybody's saying, where are the 9? And he kept going on about that, and I thought, well, okay, never mind. I'm going to preach it anyway. I want to suggest something today that is a kind of the thought that nailed me, and that is that gratitude and thanksgiving are not the same. One is a progressive from the other. Investigate it with me. We might benefit from differentiating them for the purpose of analysis, and then we can go back and treat them as synonyms again, but I want you to see the distinction. I believe it's in this text, actually. So here's where I got the idea. In verse 16, the one healed leper returned and, quote, threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The Greek word used there is the common word for giving thanks, eucharisto. We just did eucharisto. The Eucharist is named after that, the communion. It's our time of giving thanks to the Lord, specifically for the salvation that he wrought for us. Here's my point. Do you think the other 9 lepers who were healed were not grateful? I imagine they were. Not grateful enough to go back and thank Jesus. Do you imagine them when the priest pronounces them clean, which means they can return to normal life, their families, their community in which they lived? Do you think they were not grateful? Of course they were grateful. They were no doubt ecstatic. No more skin lesions. No longer had to worry that because they could not feel anything in their extremities, that they might wear them out, be vulnerable to burns and injuries that would cause them to lose those limbs. They could be home with their wives, their children and grandchildren, go back to earning a living and be accepted by members as members of society again. Yeah, they were grateful. You know they were grateful. All 10 lepers were grateful, but 9 of them did not express thanks to God. They didn't return to the Son of God who had dared to touch them and heal them. Their experience of thanksgiving was truncated to mere gratitude. No follow-through. The Roman philosopher Cicero, who lived about 50 years before Jesus incarnated into the world, wrote this: gratitude is not only the greatest of all virtues, but the parent of others. The scripture says for us, they were gloriously, miraculously healed, and they were no doubt grateful, but they did not express thanks to the one who worked the miracle, who loved them enough to extend the gesture of healing. Their gratitude had no follow-through. But the 10th leper, who incidentally was a Samaritan, a man from among a people considered by the Jews as half-breeds, pagans, felt it was right and expedient to come back to Jesus to personally thank him in humility, because he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He came back praising God with a loud voice, then threw himself at Jesus' feet. The question the Lord asks, were not all 10 cleansed? I mean, I don't think he was asking, did something fail, that 9 of them didn't make it or something? No, he knew. Where are the other 9? The question should haunt all of us. Where are we in our thanksgiving? Where are we in our gratitude? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. May I suggest that the 10th leper's faith was deeper. His experience of the joy of deliverance was deeper, stronger than that of others, and that he experienced a level of gratitude the others did not and could not experience. I'm not saying that he felt that before he came back to say thank you to Jesus, but after. They were happy, they were gratified, made happy, satisfied with the result. But the Samaritan among them, 1 out of 10, said, it is not enough for me to be gratified, taken care of, miraculously blessed. This event, this occasion, this miraculous healing is not complete until I return to the healer and express to him not just that I'm grateful, of course I'm grateful, I'm healed. Not just that I'm satisfied, because of course I am, but that I am thankful. There is a qualitative difference between gratitude and being thankful. And we see it here, I think, in this parable, this story. No wonder he came back praising God. I think he ran. I'm not sure, it doesn't say, but I imagine if you're going to leap at Jesus' feet, you probably were running. No wonder that he threw himself at Jesus' feet. No wonder he went to the trouble to personally return and say thank you, not just with words, but with a heart bursting with gratitude and thanksgiving. The man was so moved, he was not satisfied to just be gratified. He had to be thankful, aggressively thankful, personally, deliriously, seriously thankful, bedecked with a smile and tears of joy, facing his Savior and saying thank you. Why? Why did he feel that he needed to go way past what the other lepers did? They were all grateful, gratified. But he went to the point that he felt he must share his feelings as clearly and as loudly and as uproariously as he could to the one who did the miracle. There was in this man more than satisfaction, more than gratitude. There was thankfulness. You see the difference? Well, I'll keep going until you do. What constitutes this graduated level of gratitude? So notice something with me. He did not come running back to Jesus for himself. Park there for a minute. He did not return to Jesus for himself. He came back to bless and gratify Jesus. What rounds out gratitude and makes it thankfulness is your desire to return the blessing. Not to pay for it. None of that. How could he? But to round it out. To share the joy with the giver of joy. The wholehearted gratitude with the one who deserved to hear a heartfelt thank you. The wisest, most thoughtful college graduate is the one who takes pains to express his thankfulness to his parents, who paid all that money, prayed all those prayers, who resourced him for 4 years as he studied, who raised him, in fact, and taught him and instilled in him the character he would need to arrive at this pinnacle of his personal success. He has gratitude with those who helped him so much to get where he is now. He gives his parents more than gratitude. He gives them thanks. And in that thankfulness, he welcomes them, to share in the celebrative joy. He wants to be with them in the moment. So did leper number 10. Let's celebrate this. You, the giver of this great gift, and me, the recipient. Football players who win the big games have a way of sharing their joyous gratitude with their beloved coaches. They thank their coaches by pouring gallons of icy cold Gatorade over them. Rather an odd behavior, I think, but they do it, and we're used to it. Why do they do it? Because he's the one who primarily helped them to get where they are, who insisted on all that weight training, who gave them long hours of practice and lots of expectations and strict rules. And he, above all, deserves to be recognized and thanked in a special way. So they go beyond gratitude to thankfulness. Listen, God is happy to shed his mercy and grace on those who will repent, those of us in need, those who commit themselves to him, and he's supremely worthy of thanksgiving. Deep in our hearts, we know it is his pleasure to bless us because he loves us. So let's take it to the next level. To glorify and bless him back by taking our response from mere gratitude, which is essentially feeling good, to openly expressing praise and thanksgiving. Tell him you want to share the joy with him because he is the one who really made it happen. Another illustration. You're a parent. Your daughter has made clear what she wanted for Christmas. And you took note of it. And you went out and you bought the very best of that kind of item. And you put it under the tree. And Christmas morning, she delights. She screams. She's so happy. She holds her gift tight. She's so grateful. The wise child turns and runs to Daddy with the gift in hand and says, "Thank you." Why? Why is that so good? Because the good feeling of gratitude that she felt in the receiving, she wanted to give back to the giver so the giver could be gratified. God loves for us to worship, to thank him, to remember him, to be people who go beyond gratified and grateful to thankful and vocal. We want to bless God. Again, we're not paying him back. It's like the child runs back and say, "Daddy, look what you gave me. I love it. I love you." And then they both share in the joy of the giving. This is what God wants. A people so grateful, they continue to worship, adore, and obey him, bringing him joy. Now the others were healed in their flesh, pronounced clean, saved from the horrible discontinuing disfigurement, sickness, slow, torturous death. God loved them. God healed them. God showed them favor. And they were grateful. How could they not be grateful? You know, they ran back to their families as the 10th leper ran to Jesus. They were healed. But without their willful effort to give Jesus thanks, they showed themselves to be ungrateful recipients. How do you mix gratitude and ungratefulness? It's queer. It's odd. That's why we shouldn't do it. That needs to be expressed to the giver and shared in the joy of giving. Without their willful effort to give Jesus thanks, they showed themselves ungrateful. They were happy to remain simply grateful, but they had no inclination to express their thanks to the Lord. To let the Lord hear them say, "Thank you." To savor those words, that emotion, to share in it. That is thanks. Basically, they took the healing, this great gift of grace, and they went on almost as if they deserved to be healed. And they didn't. They were blessed, they were healed, but the blessing and the healing only went skin deep. If our gratitude does not evolve into some sort of heartfelt, sincere, spoken thanksgiving, demonstrated thanksgiving to our divine benefactor, the Lord of all mercy and grace, what does that say about our true motive and character? We just wanted to receive. Didn't really care about him. If the healing could have come from a roach, and we'd be grateful. Folks, let's be grateful for our salvation. But let's go beyond that and be thankful. Let God share in the joy of what he transpired for us by going full circle with our thanks. Get it? Good idea. Engage in noisy, happy, delighted praise to God. Thank him out loud. Respond that way to those you love and have loved and helped you, who have been patient with you while you healed, those who have gone the extra mile for you, probably more times than you've ever known, and those certainly who introduced you to Jesus. Go back. Tell them, here's what you done for me. I wanted to say thank you so you could share the joy. God knows you're grateful, but does he know you're thankful? Well, he knows. But he longs to experience it. He longs to be worshiped for it. Do you give him the opportunity to celebrate out loud with you in worship? Where he's rightfully exalted by us with praise and thanks? These Sunday morning experiences we call worship services, what are they for except to pour gallons of Gatorade thanks over God? He knows you're grateful, but he longs for the expression of gratitude to go full circle. Praise is God's love language, and it is the more beautiful when it thanks God in spite of circumstances. German pastor Marvin Rickert served the town of Eilenburg during the 30 Years' War and during the beginning of the Black Plague that arrived in 1637. Two of the other three pastors in Eilenburg died of the plague, and Rinkert buried them. The plague worsened, and he conducted funeral services for as many as 50 people a day. That's a total of 4,480 funerals in a year. He kept records. That's accurate. He's best known for his writing, though. He wrote the now famous Thanksgiving hymn, the most famous in history, during the war, and the church sang it throughout the Great Plague. Now, thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Giving thanks is a gift to us. This thing keeps going back and forth, doesn't it? It allows us to adequately express our thankfulness beyond our gratitude to God and invites God to participate in the celebration. The Japanese often accept gifts by saying in their language, "I'm sorry." That's weird. You give them a gift, they say, "I'm sorry." Well, what's that all about? Well, it seems a strange thing to say, but the underlying subtext of their word for "I'm sorry" is that the receiver of the gift is really saying, "I am fully aware now of my debt to you for giving me this. I know I can never repay it, so I'm saying in advance, I'm sorry." Maybe we ought to say, "I'm sorry to God. We could never repay." There's a lesson. When a sinful woman with a very bad reputation interrupted a dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee, she approached Jesus boldly and washed his feet with her abundant tears, anointed him with perfume. Simon did what you might have expected. He grumbled. So Jesus told a story about two debtors in that very context. One had a small debt and the other had a large debt. Neither was able to repay his debt. So the lender decided to forgive both debts. The greater the forgiveness, the greater the thankfulness. When we have trouble being thankful, it's often because we fail to acknowledge our sins and freshly remember his mercy and forgiveness. We should do that, because otherwise we end up failing to express adequately our gratitude and our thanks. I'd like to invite you to stand, and Charlotte's going to come and help us sing our thanks to the Lord. The words are in the at the bottom of that sheet that you have, so let's worship him with gratitude and thanksgiving.
Do you know this little song, this little chorus? "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making my whole." Do you remember it?
Yeah.
When I was a kid at our church on Sunday night, we closed every service with this song. And it's good for the low. Thank you. Okay, it goes like this. I'm going to pitch it real low. I got a low voice. Sorry. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.